Talking now with Dr. Jeff Edwards, our state wheat specialist. Jeff, for all practical purposes, we're awfully close to the end of wheat harvest, and that's unbelievable to say on what the 7th of June for Oklahoma.
It is unbelievable. I normally, by now, we're just now getting rolling with our variety trials, and we've gotten all those wrapped up except for northwest Oklahoma, and really the only big block of wheat that we have left to cut in Oklahoma is out in the panhandle, primarily the irrigated production out there. Other than that, we're just cleaning up odds and ends, and for all intensive purposes, we're about wrapped up.
Tell me what you've heard as far as, you know, as you've processed all the harvest reports. Are you pretty well pleased?
I'm very pleased. It goes to show I'm not that good at predicting wheat yields, I guess, because the yields are coming in much better than I expected. About 40 bushel wheat seems to be the norm, and I've been hearing reports of field averages 60, 80 bushels per acre, not that uncommon. Which is much better than expected. For the most part, test weights have held up pretty well because of some foliar disease issues and maybe some of the areas that were a little harder hit by drought. Some of those test weights have been light. But for the most part, pretty good test weights this year.
Well, there was some concern that some of the heat from middle of spring, the April period, I guess especially, that hurt us as far as kernel size.
That's true, and I believe it did hurt us. I believe that's one of the reasons that we're seeing some of the low test weights that we are in the harder hit areas. And even though we're coming off with a pretty good crop, that heat during April still had an effect. I think our 40 bushel wheat could have been 50 or 60 bushel if it had not been for the heat that we had during the April. So as good as it is, it could have been better.
What have you learned from the agronomics, I guess, of this unusual season we've had as far as started dry, pretty mild over the winter?
Well, one thing is the amazing ability of wheat to recover and endure drought conditions. It always seems to fool you in a drought year or a dry year and does better than what you anticipate, as it's doing this year. I guess the biggest take home from 2012, though, is the power of stripe rust. Without a doubt, it devastated some fields in Oklahoma. If you have any doubt about what effect stripe rust has, I'll point to our Marshall, Oklahoma wheat variety trials. There were varieties out there yielding 15 bushels per acre that if it had not been for stripe rust would have easily been 55, 60 bushel wheat. No doubt in my mind that stripe rust took 40 bushels per acre off those yields.
So let's talk about your variety test a little bit, if we could. I know you've got at least a couple of locations that you did fungicide and no fungicide.
We do there at Lahoma and at Apache. Lahoma is a pretty solid bet that we'll get a nice bump from fungicides every year, and that was the case this year. On average, about 10 bushels per acre bump from fungicides, but some of the varieties had responses upwards of pushing 30 bushels per acre additional just by the application of a foliar fungicide. Not quite as big of a response at Apache, but still a pretty nice response to foliar fungicides at that location, and almost everything had a positive response.
Now, how do you interpret that? Is that a recommendation or a kind of a call to action of maybe we need to rethink how we think about fungicides in our state?
It has changed my way of thinking a little bit about fungicides. I've always been pro-fungicide. For me, the key to using a fungicide, I like foliar fungicides, but you have to set yourself up for success. Fungicides can only protect yield potential that is already there. So if you plan to spray a fungicide in the spring of 2013, you need to start preparing for that in the fall of 2012 by planting quality seed, getting the crop off to a good start, providing adequate nitrogen fertility, and taking care of it up until that time for fungicide application, because it's really just icing on the cake. So it's something you build towards more than an afterthought, in my viewpoint.
You mentioned fertility for the fall of 2012. What about this year's crop? In other words, how would you grade our producers and making sure we had nutrients out there?
Well, our producers did a pretty good job, but it's always better to be lucky than good in life. And I think this year we had a bit of luck, or I guess you could call it luck. We had the failed crop in 2011, and there was a lot of residual nitrogen left out there from our summer crops and even from our wheat crop. We didn't have any or much rain to move that nitrogen out of the rooting profile. So we came into the season with a lot of residual nitrogen, and I think that's what carried us through. In most cases, we did not put enough fertilizer out there to make the crop that we did. But we had enough residual in the soil combined with the top dress that it carried us through. I anticipate going into this fall as we start pulling soil tests that we aren't going to have a lot of nitrogen left in the soil profile, though, so it's going to be very important over the next production season to take care of those nitrogen needs.
When you think about, you know, what we've learned from 2012 and you know, guys start doing their planning process for the fall of 2013, what are the two or three things you're really going to emphasize to these folks?
The things I'm going to emphasize this year, number one, first and foremost, is take care of our weed problems. We're never going to increase wheat yield significantly in Oklahoma until we get our weed problems under control. And the best time to control weeds is in the fall of the year when they're small. Even if you can kill those weeds in the spring, you've already lost yield to them by them being out there during the fall. Second thing would be look at variety selection. Make sure that the variety you're picking matches your management style. We've got some varieties out there, Armor, Everest, and Pete, that succumbed to stripe rust this year. And if you're prepared to spray a fungicide, those could still have a fit in your operation. But if you're not going to spray a fungicide, you need to know that ahead of time and stay away from those varieties without a good disease package. And I guess the last thing that I would mention would, again, be to stress the fertility needs. Make sure that you're on top of those and know what the state of your nitrogen situation in the ground is and know whether you're deficient or sufficient.
I know that, you know, your first point, your first take-home message talking about weeds, one of the solutions we have, obviously, is to rotate. And winter canola seems to be acquitting itself pretty well.
Winter canola, the guys who grew winter canola this year are having a great year. We had a bumper crop in terms of winter canola, the yields, good price for winter canola, so it's very attractive, and I think it turned a lot of heads this year. If you're looking at cleaning up wheat ground, winter canola is a great option. I'll go ahead and say I think it's probably the best option out there for most of our producers, especially those who can't rotate to soybean or corn. So it's a great option, and it's a good moneymaker. There's really no reason not to do that if you've got some fields with weed issues, or if you just want to increase your wheat production. Rotating to winter canola is a good idea, even if you don't have the weed issues to deal with.
Anecdotally, we've always talked about that there is a bump. Have we been able to measure that, really?
We have been able to measure that in plots, and 10% is the rule of thumb that has been thrown around, and that's pretty close to what we've seen in our research studies. I think that's a conservative estimate for the type of yield bump you can associate with wheat following canola, just due to the rotation effect. And then when you throw in cleaning up the weed problems on top of that, it's probably more than 10%.
Okay. One last word as far as on varieties. Anything you've learned about varieties from our variety test?
Well, I've got some that I've recommended in the past that I may not be recommending as much in the future. As far as a few of the standouts that I've seen, there's a Westbred variety, WB Cedar, that's done very well in several trials this year, had a clean flag leaf. Gallagher, a new release from Oklahoma State, has really impressed me this year. Has had a clean flag leaf, been near the top of many trials. The same way with Iba, another new release. And, you know, there's a variety from Oklahoma State called Ruby Lee, and I'm kind of sweet on old Ruby Lee because she's been a solid performer this year, especially where we've sprayed a fungicide. It's been a top performer, and it's still one of my favorites.
And the big acreage out there across the countryside this year was Duster. I know it didn't do quite as good on your trials, did it?
It didn't. But I tell you, old Duster is pretty tough. It didn't do quite as well as it's done in the past, but it performed better than expected. I'm not going to remove Duster from my lineup of recommended varieties yet. I still think it has a fit. It's still a good forage producer, Hessian fly resistant. I do think this is a wake-up call for people who are growing Duster that they need to keep their eye on something else to be transitioning to. And right now, the two that I think you need to keep your eye on are Ruby Lee and Gallagher, because they're both Hessian fly resistant, similar profile, with the exception of low soil pH tolerance in Ruby Lee. We don't have that with Ruby Lee. But other than that, I think it's a good fit for some of those Duster acres.
Extension Wheat Specialist for Oklahoma State University, Dr. Jeff Edwards. I'm Ron Hayes on the OklahomaFarmReport.com.